And Pastor George asked me several weeks ago to if I could fill in for him this morning. Of course, I jumped at that opportunity. Part of my MTS training was preaching, and so I've always taken every opportunity to do pulpit supply, and so I really feel privileged to be here this morning. So I asked Pastor George, I said, what should I preach on today? Do you have a theme, or should I just build something? He said, well, it is Lent, and maybe with next week being Palm Sunday, maybe there's something leading into that that you could preach on. And so I went to the lectionary, and so what we're reading today are what's called the lectionary readings for today. And the lectionary is a series of readings every day. They go on a three-year cycle. And so these scriptures today are what millions of Christians today and churches around the world today are reading, and how God is stirring his word in the hearts of Christians around the world. So it's kind of neat when you're on the lectionary readings to know that these are readings that other brothers and sisters in Christ are reading around the world. So we have three readings today. The first one is the Gospel of John message, chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. This is John's account of Jesus coming to the house where Lazarus, Mary, and Martha live. There are different accounts. I'm going to allude to it a bit later on in the other three Gospels. And so we're going to read about this story with Jesus and Mary. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a supper was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path. Sorry, reading on to the next. So that's the story with the Gospel of John. So what we read now is the second reading from Isaiah. And in part of the message I talk about today is how do we recognize Jesus in the story? And so one of the readings we read about, Isaiah is talking to the people of Israel. And it's at a period of time when they're looking at being overthrown by a foreign country. And he's reminding them that God is their Savior in whom they should trust. And so Isaiah says this. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. And so when we look at Mary's motivation, we want to understand the heart of Mary. And so the reading today to help us with that, we look at Paul's writings to the Philippians. So here Paul in jail and chains, it's a letter of joy. Pastor George talked about this last week. We see this theme of joy in this. And so Paul is writing a little bit about his struggle as he was in his former life as Saul. But he talks about how important Jesus is in his life. If someone else thinks that they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider a loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus, Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of the resurrection and the participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. I'm going to open my phone here. Not that I'm expecting a call. It's just that I want to make sure that I don't talk inadvertently for 40 minutes and end up having the second service people coming. And so I put this timer on for my benefits, that this cane will come out in some time and pull me off the pulpit here. I titled this, Having the Heart of Mary. Oops, did I turn that off by... Thank you. Because I think it's important that we understand what Mary was doing in this. John writes this account of Jesus' visit a little different from the other three gospel accounts. If you were to look at the other gospel accounts in Mark and Matthew and Luke, you would see that there is a different emphasis. Each of the gospel writers write this story with their own intention in mind. And so John writes the story about Jesus coming to this house where Lazarus and Martha and Mary live. And he focuses on two people, Mary and Judas. Because one of the questions that is asked of the audience that John was writing to, who is this Jesus? And so we are invited into not only who is this Jesus, but how do we respond to Jesus? And in this story, we see two characters, Mary and Judas. And, of course, the writer John wants us to identify with Mary's response to Jesus coming to the house. And so we have to understand, what is this all about? Why is Mary doing what she's doing, and how do we understand that in our own lives? And one of the things that you have to know is that when the Israelites have a meal and they invite people over to their house, is that the custom is that you wash the feet of the guests that come for dinner. The custom of the Israelites when they were walking across the streets in the desert countryside were in sandals, and so their feet were open, and they would come tired, and their feet would often be hot, and they would be dirty, and so you would wash their feet, and the methods of how you wash the feet would be attributed to the significance of the person coming to the house. So the higher ranking the individual had in their cultural status means the more that you might do in the washing of their feet. So what we see in Mary here, she recognizes Jesus as her Messiah. So this is the one that prophets like Isaiah and other prophets through the Old Testament have talked about all through the Old Testament, that there's this Savior coming, that God is their Savior, but God is coming as their Messiah. He's going to come to them in human form. So they were expecting this Messiah to come. And so Isaiah, he talks about this. He says, there's a new thing that God's going to do. That's what he, in the passage that we read. Do you perceive it? Are you going to get it? And so in this story, we see Mary gets it. She understands who Jesus is. And so in that recognition, that's very important because that is what sets up the next phase of what she actually does. She recognizes Jesus just not as a common rabbi, but she recognizes Jesus as her Messiah. So from that, we see that Mary uses this very, very expensive perfumed oil, and she uses a pint of that. And we see in the story how much this is. This is a tremendous sacrifice. It's 1 year's wage, 300 denarii, which is in other stories, they account to how much this expensive perfume is. So this is a huge sacrifice that Mary is making in honoring who Jesus is. This is the kind of perfumed oil that would be used at the burial of a king. And so John talks about that because one of the other themes in John's gospel and the other gospel messages is this moving towards the cross. There's this slow unveiling that Jesus is going to die. There might be this resurrection happening. And so in here, there's some hint about that. There's some hint about Judas is going to betray him. There's this hint that this is being, you know, would be used for Jesus' burial kind of thing. We also see that in the story, just prior to Jesus coming to Lazarus' house, the house where he is, which is in Bethany, which is on the other side, Mount of Olives, and on his way to Jerusalem. So this would have taken place about the week before, someplace at 6 days, someplace at 2 days before he entered into Jerusalem. But the thing that we see in this is that there's a movement that John's portraying towards who Jesus is and the realization that there's going to be this death of Jesus and that this oil would be used for a king. And so here we see this huge sacrifice. And it comes about because Mary's recognition of who Jesus is. So Mary recognizes who Jesus is, and she washes his feet, not with water, but with this expensive oil. So from that, what we see is, this tells us about a devotion. Mary is devoted to Jesus. Jesus actually said he loves Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. And one of the few times Jesus actually said the disciples whom he loves, and he named certain people by name, and Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And here we see Mary's motivation is coming from this devotion. And so how we understand the devotion, how we understand how we look at Christ is in Paul's writings. And in Paul, to the Philippians, he writes about this joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And so we see in Philippians, especially, how important and precious Jesus is to Paul. Paul has, he's in chains, he's dying, and he's telling people to rejoice in the Lord always. I'm in this ministry with Jesus Christ. The most important for all of things I have is Jesus Christ. See, Paul, when he was Saul, persecuted the Christians. In fact, he ordered the stoning of Stephen. And so we see this tension in the first part of that reading about how he felt as Saul. And he was a Pharisee. And so he went through everything. He was circumcised. He was in high esteem as a Pharisee. He was a Roman citizen. So as Saul, he had it all. But he realized that the law wasn't sufficient. And that when he has an experience with Jesus, it was Jesus that gave him his salvation. It brought him into the kind of relationship with God that he was always longing to have. There was this tremendous joy of knowing that. Didn't matter what else was happening in his life, the joy of the Lord was everything for him. So we see in Paul's writing this joy. And we sing it with the kids. I got this joy, 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 joy down in my, excuse me for my singing, but it's probably why I don't sing in a choir. Nonetheless, we understand, we capture this joy. And so we see this joy in Mary. We see this joy in Mary's devotion as she comes to doing this act of washing Jesus' feet. Now, John said he washes Jesus' feet with her hair. Okay, not a cloth like we would think of. She uses her hair. And you have to realize that with the Israelites, that the Jewish women often had very long, wavy, thick hair. In fact, King Solomon describes it as a flow of sheep over the hillside of Shalad, and you get this flowing sense, and you kind of wonder how one hair could be compared to a flock of sheep. But when you understand how they understood it, that the hair was very long and wavy, and so it could be used very well for that purpose. And so in the tradition of the Jewish people, the Israelites, that if you did that, it was someone who you were very devoted to. If you washed their feet with your hair, it was someone that you were really devoted to. And so this is why John writes this into the story. It just wasn't she washed his feet with this expensive sacrifice of oil, perfumed oil. She also did it with her hair because she was devoted. It was an expression of her joy of knowing her Messiah. Which brings us to what we call the application. How do we understand this for ourselves? This event that happened a long time ago and a custom that we don't really practice today. And so how do we understand ourselves in this story? John invites us to relate to Mary. So how do we relate to Mary? And so when we look at recognition, and I go back to the annual general meeting last week, and you were given this form, if you were there, and it says, what excites you about our future? So this is a question about you being at Knox here. And so when we look at application, we look at ourselves personally, but we look at ourselves as a community. We are a church family. And it says, what excites you about our future? And so when it comes to recognition, there was a slide that was put up that says, who are we? And there's a vision that says, a community fully alive in Jesus Christ. So at Knox here, we recognize Jesus as the Messiah. We recognize Jesus as our Savior. And so when I say, what excites you about our future, what excites me about the future, what excites me about being here at Knox is this recognition. We recognize Jesus Christ as the cornerstone of this church, the foundation of our faith, that what our Messiah, that what brings us into relationship with God. And so we see that here. So we say, okay, yeah, we can relate to Mary's heart because we recognize Jesus here, not only individually, but collectively as a church. So how do we understand sacrifice? Mary sacrificed a year's wage, but how do we understand sacrifice as it relates to us today? And one of the things that got me at the annual general meeting, Donna, who heads up the mission committee, is that right? Is it Donna that heads up the mission? Diane. I'll get the names right of it. Diane heads up the, and she said that we have given graciously and sacrificially, was it $58,000 in the last year towards missions in the city here and abroad. And not only that, we are supporting a refugee family. And so I see sacrifice in our givings. We give because we know Christ. And so we see that giving. We see that giving in the budget where we look at, yes, we want to see certain things in happening here at Knox. And so we see this willingness to be gracious and sacrificial in our givings. And in our service, too. The service of the people here, willing to be involved in leadership role and in serving Christ and others here through Knox. So how do we understand then our devotion? And one of the things we saw in the cornerstone of the four corners of the church was worship. And so what we see here is devotion. Mary's devotion was a form of worship. And we see here is that we place a huge emphasis on worshiping God. We see that in the budget. We have made increases in the budget because of worship, music and worship. We have found, placed an emphasis, a cornerstone on worship. And this is our devotion. Our devotion as we come to the kneeling at Jesus' feet, we come and worship. There's also been an emphasis placed on prayer and discipleship, the study of God's word, the coming together in groups in the study. These are all acts of devotion. So we see that out of our recognition, our sacrifice, and we see that in our devotion. So I go back to having the heart of Mary, and in verse 3, the second half of that, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. So why would John write that? Why was that so important in the story? So what we look at is in the Old Testament, we see written in the Old Testament that the Israelites in their sacrifice and their worship was this pleasing aroma to God. God was pleased. It made the sacrifice of their sacrifices and their worship, it was this pleasing aroma. That's how they understood it. That's how God expressed his understanding to them. It's this pleasing aroma that that God had that came out of that. And so when John put this in the story, then his audience would instantly understand that. They would know, yes, this is something pleasing to God because it symbolizes our sacrifices and our worship, and it's a theme through Scripture. In fact, Paul writes in his letters that in Christ we are this pleasing aroma to God. And so it continues after the cross in Paul's writings that there's this fragrance in our worship, in our devotion, in our sacrifices that are pleasing to God. So here we, as a church family, then as we make our recognition, we make our sacrifices, our devotions, it fills the house with this pleasing aroma to God. God wants to bless us because of that. But also that's important. And we look at some of the other stories, we know that there was a lot of people in this house. And so when you have a fragrance that goes through the house, it also tells everybody else in the house, okay, what this is what's going on. And so our fragrance here becomes inviting to the community. And this is what our mission vision is that we become inviting to the community. The community sees us in our devotion and our sacrifice, and they want to be part of that. They want to worship God with us. They want to journey with us in our faith, seeking understanding of what it is Christ is in our life. And so that aroma goes through the community, and we see that. And this is our prayer. This is what we ask God to bless us from the annual general meeting. Lord, we are making sacrificial changes here. We are devoted to you in worship, and we're praying a blessing that we will see that it'll be inviting to the rest of the community around us. And so as I close, this is my prayer. This is my prayer for you, for the church, but also I encourage you to make this your prayer, not only for yourself that you will have this aroma that's inviting, but Knox as a church family will have this inviting aroma into us. And with all of that, I conclude with the words, amen. Not that we're Pentecostal, but we all go, amen to that, right? Amen. All right, let's close in prayer. Lord, as we approach your cross in this season of Lent, in this fifth Sunday of Lent, help us to identify the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. In that, Lord, strengthen us in our recognition of that sacrifice in our Savior. Lord, strengthen us in our devotion. Bless us, Lord, and we bless you in this sweet aroma that of our offerings and our devotion to you. But more importantly, Lord, we pray that you bless us here as a church family in this community, and that our aroma of our devotion to you will be inviting to the community around to partner with us as we seek understanding of Jesus as our Savior and Lord. Amen.